Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, my friend, Austin Nasso.
Hey.
Austin is a comedian, a wonderful impressionist. He and I, we go kind of way back.
Yeah, like 3 years.
That's way back in LA times. No, longer than that. Because you started doing, you did Roast Battle before when I was still helping produce it.
Yeah, like 20, maybe started 2018. Yeah. I think I started it, late 2018.
That sounds about right. And then, yeah, we've done some roast things. We just took a class together.
Austin, clowning class. Clowning, you can admit class. It to the world.
No, I'm totally happy to admit it. I think I talked about it on an episode before. If you haven't seen Austin on TikTok, then your feed's all fucked up, because you should, because he's great and you should go follow him.
Oh, thank you.
What's your handle on there?
Just Austin Nasso.
Just Austin Nasso.
Austin Nasso. Not yes. Just. Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good thing to clarify.
Because I feel like some people would be like, yeah, I'm just Eric.
The real Austin Nasso.
Yeah, just the real. Yeah.
Greg Wilson.
Yeah, depending on how generic your name is, you have to like add those prefixes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The Greg Wilson, just the Greg Wilson.
I'm the only Greg Wilson, I promise.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to plug my computer in because I realized it's not actually charging. Vamp, Austin. Vamp for me.
Okay, we got this. It's only when there's like 100 Greg Wilsons, you're the Greg Wilson. But
yeah. Vamping.
Okay, so I was originally the Austin Nasso, and I realized no one else has the name Austin Nasso. So why did I have the? It just made it unnecessary.
Did you actually have?
It was the Austin Nasso, which is kind of, I don't know why I did that, but
I don't know why you did that either.
I could just be. I realized, you know, you could just go with the name, and it works. So
yeah, you can just.
I think that's the move.
Keep your name. Everything's fine. Don't sweat the small stuff, and the small stuff is just your name.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've solved my computer problem.
Excellent.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to make sure we do this other thing too. But please, in the meantime, Austin, let's talk about the movie that we are going to be referencing today.
It's so nasty. It's probably one of the worst movies we've ever seen. And we've seen a lot of movies. I'll tell you that much. They call it Food Fight.
It's so, dude, this is heinous.
Food Fight is a movie that I cannot believe you made me watch. Truly.
It's actually an atrocity.
It is. It's a war crime.
I think it is.
I'd never heard of it. And then I looked up the Wikipedia page like you suggested. And it's fucking atrocious, man. It's so, the way this movie like came about and it was made, it boggles my mind that this movie exists even.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, honestly, reading the Wikipedia page afterwards, it somewhat justified it, but it was still heinous and an atrocity. Like, it's truly a movie that can only be claimed to be made by an insurance company.
Yeah, that's, oh boy. Oh boy,
how crazy
oh boy,
is it,
man,
that you're just like, hey, we actually have to use like what, like Geico, finish our movie for our like movie insurance.
How can you?
They're like, no one's ever used this insurance before. Fuck.
No one has ever thought, hey, you know what's a great idea to finish our movie? Let's get Flo the progressive lady to be our chief financier.
Yeah.
And actually just the character, not the actress. Just
the character,
the
Flo.
Okay. So for those of you who haven't seen this movie, which I'm guessing is probably a lot of
the
audience, hopefully everybody, this is a film, and I'm using it in the loosest possible term, calling this a film, that was originally supposed to come out in 2003, and it was Have you read any of the like the New York Times piece about this movie?
Oh no.
Okay.
I didn't.
So shout out to Nathan Rabin, formerly of the AV Club, and currently doing a lot of independent reviews and stuff. So this movie was originally supposed to come out Christmas 2003. The New York Times did an interview with a lot of the production staff of the movie. Excuse me. And yeah, that was just, I just vomited a little bit in my mouth because of how bad this movie is.
Yeah.
So sorry you guys got that on audio. this movie was initially described as having animation that would put Pixar to shame.
No.
They said this was going to be realistic, more realistic than Pixar, and it was going to be just like shocking the world of how great this movie was. And it had, you know, crazy budget. It had like a multi-million dollar budget.
I think it was like almost 60 million.
Yeah.
I think
it's quoted on Wikipedia as 45 to 65 million.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of shame in this film.
What happened was the movie never came out in 2003. It was, there was a lot of stuff that went wrong. Like they said that the hard drives for the movie were stolen.
Yeah. Out of this studio. Said it was espionage or something. Yeah. Corporate espionage.
They said it was, one of the craziest pieces of corporate espionage to ever happen.
In Santa Monica.
Yeah. And then, 2011, the movie was, the producers of the movie defaulted on the loan that they had. And they had to auction off the film
because they wouldn't wasn't there like the 8 years they were trying to like, they kept delaying the release.
They kept delaying the release. And then there was basically, they used this shitty movie as collateral on helping to keep them from going bankrupt. It was eventually released direct to video in 2012, and God almighty, please save Austin and I from having to watch this movie. Like I feel dirty after watching this movie.
I felt really uncomfortable.
How did you even come across this movie in the first place?
So, my friend, so we did like a Halloween kind of like little show and tell thing.
Okay.
And my friend, one of the things that he presented was the first 3 minutes of this film. When it was just like the beginning part where it's like, it's our world, it's our life. I'm like, okay, clearly a weird check.
Yeah. Weird generic sounding knockoff songs.
And it was so amazingly bad. I think we stopped watching after the naked mole rat kung fu scene.
Oh, right. When they're fighting on top of the balloon or the after that?
The balloon.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we stopped after that originally. And we're like, we need to watch this at some point. It's so,
oh my God,
tremendously bad.
So you watched the whole thing separately from this?
Yes. We later watched the movie.
Okay. And how did it feel the first time you watched it in full? Were you able to pay attention the whole time?
Dude, it was insane. I mean, we were just dying. There's so many elements that were like insane. I mean, we could follow the plot. Mm-hmm. But we were distracted. It was jarring how many bad elements there were. Dude. Like there was, I don't know. You probably didn't notice this. It was very subtle, but my friend pointed out, it was the funniest thing ever. We had to rewind. In the beginning of the movie, they're kicking a melon around like a soccer ball.
Yeah. They call it a melon ball.
Did you notice that it was two dimensional?
I 100%
noticed. It was not even like,
it's clip art. Basically. It's like they stole it from Microsoft Word and we're just like, yeah, we're not even going to worry about trying
they
to,
they didn't even have it
3D.
In the thing. It was going in front of the characters.
Yeah. This is, I've seen a fair amount of animated movies. I've seen some really shitty animated movies. A little while ago, I used to do this show for the PAX Twitch channel called Newbies with my old improv team. And we would do dubbing over horrible movies that we found on Amazon.
Oh, that's
Prime.
So great.
And we did one that was The Asylum, the company that made Sharknado. They put out an animated movie that was basically a Finding Nemo knockoff. And that movie looked better than this.
Wow.
This movie, I was telling Ben, our producer, this movie sounds and looks like, animation wise, it looks like sub reboot level animation. Did you ever watch Reboot as a kid? Oh my God. It's one of those like Toonami cartoons where the animation is so, oh yeah, this is a thing that we made in the 90s. And for anybody to think that this animation was ever going to rival Pixar's, How dare you?
It's crazy.
How
I mean,
fucking dare you?
It looks like a high school like student film project.
Yeah.
Or like, honestly, like if you know like the stages of animation, like there's usually like a, you know, when they like, you see the behind the scenes and they show like Shrek without the texture and without the materials mm-hmm. and it's kind of robotic. It's like they kind of map it out before
right.
they the, do the full thing.
The animantic or whatever yeah. it's called.
It's like they just released that stage. They yeah. didn't go beyond that. I mean, an insurance company finished the film.
Dude.
It, how insane is that?
So it looks like they took assets from like Second Life to finish this game. To finish
it's
this
insane. Movie. It looks like they made it in Unity or something.
Yeah, man. Dude, this is so... And by did you see... This is totally unrelated, but did you see that Unity bought Weta Digital?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they bought the visual effects company that just did Avatar and all Peter Jackson stuff. Insane.
Wow.
If they had done that
previously... So Unity is going to be way better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, already is, but...
I mean, what happened, the crazy thing is, that, yeah, if the Fireman's Fund Insurance Company completed and released the film...
That's so funny to me.
Animator Ken Bailey, this is all according to the Wikipedia page, stated that the film was already ruined. Yeah. They were just trying to salvage what they could. And they barely did it. I mean, this movie, the animation is... all the character design, by the way, it's either super... You know, as far as for a movie that was started being animated in the 2000s, not horrible for some of the like the dog and the Brand X lady. They look okay. Their character models look fine.
Yeah.
But there's some of these faces and bodies and things that they design in this movie that look horrifying.
Dude, the guy.
Nightmare fuel.
Wait, the guy that the villain character.
Christopher Lloyd's character.
The dude who'd come into the... Is that the elderly man?
Yeah, his name is Mr. Clipboard.
Dude, oh my God. That was so insane. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. That animation and that dude...
Him walking around in. And his... It looks like they just had problems in stabilizing his body and they just didn't correct it.
I really hope that, I don't know, somehow the viewers here can like look that up. It's on YouTube. It's free and full on YouTube.
Yeah, you should watch this movie.
Go to that character and just die laughing. It's probably like the first what, like 20 minutes in or something.
I don't even
when they get to that dude.
I have no idea. This movie felt like I it's only 87 minutes. I felt like I was watching this movie for years.
Yeah. Like just stuck in a time loop.
And because I think part of it is that it's almost the plot makes no sense. It's so there's all this stuff that's introduced. By the way, we haven't even talked about like the hook of this movie, which is that it's a movie set at a supermarket where there's a ton of brand characters who everybody knows who show up in this movie as supporting characters like Mr. Clean, Charlie Tuna. The little, the California Raisins,
yep.
The little bubble guy, Mr. Bubble, I think is his name from like the bubble bath. There's other ones that I know. Mrs. Butterworth shows up in this movie and they're supposed to be like, hey, these are all these guys who we live in a supermarket and at night they come to life.
Very much the vibe of like, I think they wanted to manifest that like Shrek energy of like, oh, we know all these fairy tale creatures or we know all these things.
Yeah.
But is like such a blatant, like the combination of like the bad writing, the animation, and the fact that it's like such a sellout, like they're trying to get all these advertisers mm-hmm. to like give them money for this film. It's like, how could you make the cheapest thing possible that will make money? It seemed like that's what they're trying to do.
And that's the crazy thing, too, is that they actually weren't going to make any money off of the product placement.
Oh, really?
Because they didn't ask any of the companies if they were allowed to use their characters.
No way.
They just
didn't ask?
They didn't ask. They'd worked out a deal, I guess, somehow where they were like, yeah, we're just going to make this thing and you don't have to pay us. But you'll make a lot more money off of seeing... Mrs. Butterworth twerking.
Wow.
Good for you guys.
Wow. So they didn't even make money from it. No. I didn't realize.
No.
I'd be surprised if they made, well, they didn't make money from the entire film.
I feel like they probably would have lost money seeing all of these characters. I'm never going to buy Mrs. Butterworth syrup ever
again. I don't want to use any of those things.
No.
What do you think about the overt, like Nazi theme.
Oh yeah, okay.
Like they didn't even try to like hide even, that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Nazi references. There's a shitload of like Holocaust references.
It was so not earned. Like what? They can't just like.
By the way, can't emphasize enough. This is supposed to be a children's movie, and it's full of Nazi and Holocaust references.
Very, very like not hidden at all. Just like super clear, crystal clear,
crystal clear. There are multiple women who want to have sex with a dog in this movie.
Yep.
And there's also fart jokes, jizz jokes, shit jokes.
Yep. The squirrel wanted. Didn't the squirrel literally say something about like black seam? Like not chocolate. Like
yeah.
Oh, chocolate frosting.
Chocolate frosting.
I want to get my chocolate frosting all over you or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Horrible. By the way, I feel so. I wonder if Wayne Brady, who voiced the chocolate squirrel in this movie, if he had any sort of input, if because it seems like the kind of choice that the animators would make to literally just make his character like a monkey, and Wayne Brady would have been like, come on, just a little bit. And they just changed the cheeks and gave him a squirrel's tail instead of like
I know.
A spider monkey's tail.
It's fucked.
It's bad, man. This it's movie bad. Is fucked up.
I mean, like, also releasing it when it was in 2013, because I was watching it thinking this was a 2013 movie, which makes it like it does make it a lot funnier. But
yeah.
2003 like kind of justifies like the bad animation, but it's still an atrocity by 2003 standards, I think.
Yeah, it's a movie that like, I mean, Shrek, I did an episode about Shrek for this podcast a little while ago.
Were you like hating on it? I mean, I guess that's the point.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
This is the whole point of this content.
I do love Shrek a lot.
I mean, I still like Shrek, but my guest, Dana Schwartz, shout out Dana. It's a great episode. If you haven't listened to it, you should go listen to it. But that was a really fun takedown because the movie Shrek set a bar for animation and that bar has since been cleared multiple times. I think Shrek is sort of a good time capsule. And Food Fight, now that you bring it up, really does seem like it was made in that vein of trying to be a movie that's sort of, you know, it's appealing to the kids, but it's got that edginess for the adults.
Yeah, like and, Shrek has that, and they
right,
do it well.
Right, and this movie doesn't do it well at all. Like, this movie seems like it's the kind of thing that if you took your child to see this, you would have so much explaining to do that you would it's full of conversations that you would never want to have.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You can't admit, like, why did the squirrel harasses women?
The squirrel harasses
like,
women.
Like very blatantly.
The squirrel is catcalling women from
in a plane,
a biplane.
Yeah. It's insane. Like, there's no subtlety to it at all.
None.
And they're like, yeah, like we talked about the Nazi thing. They're like, they're doing a variation of the Nazi salute kind of. They just raise their hands differently, and it's just, I mean, maybe that would go over their head. They wouldn't know that.
No, they might not. But still, all of the sex stuff you're going to have to explain.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to explain why there is a woman in this movie who can lift her leg fully up and is humping a dog man, voiced by Charlie Sheen.
Jeez. Yeah, that whole scene when they're, like, dancing and, like, basically hooking up.
Yeah. And this is the crazy thing is like, so the plot of the movie is the supermarket shuts down at night. It becomes a city where all of the mascots for all of the products come to life.
By the way, in other movies where like Toy Story or something like that, I guess, or even like Sausage Party.
Yeah, even Sausage Party.
They map.
Does a better version
the
of this.
Super, you map the space that the toys or the creatures are in, mm-hmm. that world is mapped to some semblance of reality.
Yeah.
But this world is almost not even, it's like a separate world that doesn't even look like the supermarket.
No.
Like, it's not like they're on the shelves in the supermarket and they have like a city that makes sense.
No.
In the context of a supermarket.
It's just a whole city with nightclubs and evil towers and all of the stuff doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't even look like a supermarket. There's no. Like grass. It just like doesn't work.
Yeah. There's no reason for this movie to have been designed this way. There's no, the mapping is non-existent. But the whole plot is that Charlie Sheen's character, Dex Dogtective, who is the product, the mascot for some sort of a cereal brand. And he's also like kind of a hard boiled, like Maltese Falcon kind of detective, but he also dresses like Indiana Jones. And then,
yeah, that's so true.
He spends the first like 10 minutes of this movie wanting to propose to his girlfriend, who's a cat, a lady with cat ears,
seemingly a 15-year-old girl cat.
Yes. Voiced by Hilary Duff.
Yeah.
And he wants to propose to her, and then she vanishes. And we never find out why for a long
time. Yeah, it was like 6 months later, right at the beginning. Yeah,
we just cut to 6 months later. And then this evil corporation with Christopher Lloyd voiced horrible walk around man.
That was insane.
And Eva Longoria being a sexy detergent bottle manifested as a lady.
Yeah.
Who openly talks about going to get plastic surgery in Brazil later on in the movie. They are secretly the Nazis, not even secretly, overtly
yeah,
the Nazis.
Overtly. Yeah. Brand X. They want to exterminate. They're like, I think they use the term exterminate all the other brands.
They say they want to exterminate all the inferior brands.
And they're like one brand. What was their chant? Do you remember?
One brand, simple and plain.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They don't like, there's also a character who is clearly a Jewish stereotype who they are.
Dude, that guy, the nose guy?
Yeah.
What? How? How did they release? That was insane. Bro. It was just a nose with legs.
Yeah. That's his whole thing.
He's like, oh no, I'm nervous and Jewish. It's just like a fucking nose.
It's crazy, man. And so the whole movie, they try and kill Wayne Brady's character, who's the chocolate squirrel, and Charlie Sheen's character, who's the dog man. And they're trying to investigate what's up with Brand X and why they have come in to take over the supermarket.
Yeah.
And they have a battle sequence where it's all of the, like, the old, the characters, the icons. They call them Ikes in this movie.
Oh, yeah, the Ikes.
The Ikes. All the Ikes who are not with Ike. Brand X.
Is that a...
is short for icon.
Yeah, is that... I just realized it sounds a lot like...
Ooh, yep. I might... you sure you want that one on the air?
I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish, you can say it. Okay,
I could say it, but good. I don't know. Maybe you can bleep it or delete it. I don't know. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
It's whatever you feel comfortable with.
I don't care.
You don't care. All right. I'm leaving it on.
In 2 years, will I get in trouble for this, though?
You're Jewish. You can say it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to touch that one. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
Ikes.
Holy shit.
The Ikes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie is basically like a movie about the Holocaust. But the Jews are serial characters.
Dude, crazy. And you're not like excited when you see them, like all those icons rallying together. Cause it's nothing is like, you don't have any sympathy or love for these people.
No.
Even Wayne Brady's character was the closest cause he was like really endearing in the beginning and like cute and kind of like, I think he's supposed to be kind of like the donkey to Shrek kind of,
I guess.
I don't know. Just like a lovable sidekick who's helpful. Dude,
but he's not lovable.
He's not lovable. Like he establishes himself as pretty nice, then sexually harasses all these women. And you're like, oh, don't like him anymore. He's kind of an asshole.
I don't feel any sympathy for any of the characters in this movie.
No.
And they eventually, so they band together. They band together against Brand X and they have this crazy war sequence where everybody's just like, it's a food fight and they're throwing food at each other. The only thing that's close to a good gag in the movie, I think, is there's in one of the battle vehicles for Brand X is like a ketchup tank. You remember those? And they have a ketchup bottle.
Oh my God.
And they try and shoot it and it doesn't shoot. So they hit the back of the bottle with the hand on the machine.
Yeah.
And that's funny, but also.
That was the only joke.
It's the only joke, and also it's the wrong kind of ketchup bottle. That doesn't happen. It's a squeeze ketchup bottle. It's not one of the glass ones where you actually do have to hit it in order to get the ketchup out.
Oh.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It's the closest thing to a joke in the movie, and it's still
completely
missed. Incorrect.
Yeah, and also in that battle sequence, like no one was like dying. They were just like going... like flying around.
Yeah, everybody's just flying around in explosions of color because they're shooting it with, you know, ketchup and nacho cheese and all this other bullshit.
But yeah, but they don't actually die. So then I don't get how the armies are even getting small. It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make any
conceptually,
sense.
Conceptually, no sense.
No sense. This movie, it occurred to me, this movie, you know what a better title for this movie is?
What?
Schindler's Grocery List.
Yep, that's actually.
That's what we should have called this movie.
Yeah.
This Holocaust movie about serial characters.
Totally.
Oh my God, man. Dude, you bringing up the Ikes thing just totally blew my mind.
Yeah.
I can't believe, I don't know. How anybody, I wonder if anybody, if that has occurred to people before in the process of making this movie.
Yeah, it just occurred to me now. I'm like, that sounds remarkably similar.
Dude. Okay. So we both survive this movie. They find the dog lady's girl, the dog man's girlfriend, excuse me. The dog man's human girlfriend. Ava Longoria's character turns out to be like a prune witch lady.
The joke is that she was just like an ugly woman.
Yeah. She was an ugly woman who went to Brazil to have plastic surgery, and also implies that like there's a part where they're like, how did you leave the grocery store to go to Brazil? And she was like, well, when you look like this, humans will do anything, which implies that also she like
looked like that before she got the plastic surgery.
Well, it implies, I think, that she like fucked human people as a bottle of detergent.
Oh yeah, she was set. That was the implication, huh?
Which doesn't make any sense.
And also, now that I'm thinking about it, she didn't look like that.
No,
before she got the surgery.
No. So
in their
none
world,
of this, none of this makes any sense, Austin. This movie is so poorly thought out for a movie that is so high concept.
It's $60 million went into this.
Yeah.
Think about how many people in Hollywood just, you know, struggling to get their, you know, probably there's a handful of brilliant, you know, scripts out there.
Yeah.
That will never get produced.
But this got produced and finished by an insurance company for firemen.
Amazing.
Austin.
For firemen.
Austin.
What was the insurance? Like, so what do you know? Like, I guess we probably, I don't know the specifics, but like, how did they, has a claim ever been made against an insurance company before?
Have I'm going to look it up.
Made like films like that?
I'm looking up the Fireman's Fund Insurance Company right now. It is, they provide personal and commercial property and casualty insurance in the United States. They were the largest insurer and underwriter in the Hollywood film industry, including motion picture productions in the silent film era. So it's large. They're a film insurance company. They've done a lot of stuff. They helped. I'm learning about this right now. They paid out $15 million after John Candy died during the production of Wagons East.
Oh, wow.
1994 film. They paid all of the claims from the Great Chicago Fire. They paid stuff during the earthquake. They were sued.
So they haven't had things really in like, you know, 30 to 80 years.
Well, they've done stuff. Like they paid, you know, they do a lot of stuff with film companies, it looks like. Like Lionsgate uses them a lot, it sounds like. Because obviously you got to have insurance for your film. But this movie is a total atrocity. And I think what I'm learning now is that you should go pitch your movie to insurance companies and they will finish it for you.
Totally. What the hell?
Yeah. Circumvent the whole studio system.
Just go to the insurance company.
Yeah, go to fucking Liberty Mutual. Yeah. Go to Allstate. Get your movie's going to be in good hands if it's at Allstate. That's what they should be selling it at. Oh my God, man.
Quick question.
Yeah.
I have to pee.
Well, this movie...
This podcast
is almost done.
Okay.
So don't worry. You can pee. Can you hold your pee for about 2 minutes?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. I'm leaving this in, by the way. This whole podcast, unedited, is because why not?
Yeah, dude. That sounds great.
Because this movie is better. This podcast is more entertaining and better than the movie Food Fight.
It is.
I'm going raw these days, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going in raw. Just the way that Ava Longoria wanted Charlie Sheen's character, who's a dog, to have sex with her in this movie.
Yeah, a lot of bestiality references and overt bestiality.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. This movie.
What bad messaging.
I'm depressed talking about this movie.
I'm kind of getting sad. I feel my serotonin going down.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah.
And the punchline of the whole movie, or not the punchline, but the plot. Are we allowed? We could do spoilers.
We've
and
spoiled
whatever.
Everything about this movie.
I mean, yeah, I
can't. I'm spoiled watching this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like I have rotted on the inside.
Yeah, I can't. It's probably better that they don't see this movie, but that the ending when she is, it's revealed that she's just an ugly woman.
Yeah.
Like, what a bad message. Like,
yeah,
the worst thing in this world is to be an unattractive woman.
Yeah.
Is the message.
Horrible message.
Terrible.
Like, and I can't believe that, by the way, after a movie that has Holocaust references, anti-Semitism, bestiality, too much sexuality for a children's movie, to end on something as anticlimactic as if you're ugly, you're not worth anything in the world. Come on, you guys really dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You could have gone even harder. You could have done something even more for a movie that's as insane as this is.
They should have just gone full sinister.
They should have gone full sinister. Like, they should have ended this movie with a fucking, they could have ended it with an actual Holocaust, and it would have been totally, it would have made
it would be fitting. It would be more
sense.
Fitting.
It would have been more
It'd be
fitting.
More consistent.
But they did this weird soft landing, and then they did the other classic animated movie thing where everybody ends in a dance party.
Yeah, and they revived the executed Ikes.
Yes. The guy who lost all his hair, who was an Ike, gets a new hairdo, and they found the cat raisin lady, and everybody lives happily ever after. And Chris Kattan is a penguin who comes back to life and like has sex with another penguin, and everybody does okay.
They do go well for themselves. You know, happy ending.
A happy ending. The only to happy a sad movie.
I guess the only happy ending is knowing that all the investors lost most of their money.
Yeah,
making this.
That's the happiest ending. Is that this movie ruined people's lives?
It's
as
fitting.
It should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense mm-hmm. about the film.
Yeah. Austin, what can we watch as a palate cleanser to get this movie out of our brains?
Dude, honestly, after that, say go back and watch Shrek. I know you guys diss it, but Shrek 2? Shrek 2 is the fucking
best. Oh, dude, I will watch Shrek 2 just
Shrek
to watch
2
the
is so funny.
The sequence, the very end with the I Need a Hero.
Yeah.
Great.
So great.
Yeah.
Shrek 2 is like all the references are spot on.
Mm-hmm.
All the humor, the adult humor is so subtle and funny. I just think it's so great. And they have like parody elements like the Knights sequence for cops.
Yeah.
So funny. I think it's just like really well done.
I'm going to check that out again. I gotta.
That's a palate cleanser for sure,
man. Austin, I am, you know, I'd normally be mad at you for making me watch this movie, but I feel like we've shared a traumatic experience.
I know. We're like in this together now.
Yeah.
We have to heal.
We're trauma bonding over watching Food Fight.
Totally.
And if you are out there and you want to see something that is perhaps the worst thing you will ever watch, watch Food Fight.
It's so accessible, too. It's literally the full movies on YouTube.
Multiple streams of this movie are available on YouTube for free.
Yeah.
And you could put yourself through the same pain that Austin and
it
I
is
have.
Really funny, though. So watch it with your friends and just die laughing. It's really good.
It's so bad.
How bad it is.
And of course, you should go, like I said, follow Austin at Austin Nasso on all social media platforms, right?
At Austin Nasso.
Hell yeah.
Follow me. We got impressions, stand-up, characters, sketches.
Content, baby.
I would be funnier, but I really might explode bladder.
You go get out of here. I'm going to wrap this podcast up. You can find me at Diet J, anywhere you find social media, jlightcomedy.com for show dates. And if you like the show, please consider subscribing on Patreon. You get some free bonus episodes. You get access to my film library. It's a good time. This has been Blockbusting. That's been Austin Nasso. Go see something good for a change.